Number 3A.
All right, we have seen the first, second, and third main edition on the chapter or on the subject of animal magnetism. And what was the main point in the first one? We could see that in the first edition, she began to realize that there is that phenomena that Mesmer also somehow could sense, that there is an influence going from one person to the other person, and that that influence would be a mental influence, and that that mental influence could either be for the good or for bad, for evil. Then the second main edition was therefore saying we must make a distinction, therefore, between that influence which is good and which is bad, and make a difference, therefore, of the origin from where a mental influence comes. Therefore, separation between mesmerism and metaphysics. She wanted to teach metaphysics, but the student made out of it mesmerism. And the mesmerists called themselves metaphysicians. So this was muddling up two opposites, and in that second edition, she drew a very clear, distinct line between mesmerism and metaphysics, put metaphysics into a separate chapter, which today is the platform, and therefore called her animal magnetism chapter mesmerism. In the meantime, she found out that there is also such a thing as demonology, such a thing as transferring actually depraved qualities of the human mind to the student, that depravity even, not only in a mental way, could be influencing the patient, and so she had to deal with that demonology, had to deal with sin. That's the third edition, which in which she gives a lot of stories how malicious animal magnetism works. It was at that very trying time for Mrs. Eddy when her husband, Dr. Eddy, was accused of having murdered somebody. Naturally, it was a false pretense, and then afterwards had to find out who has really staged that whole scene so that it was it could be disproved that Dr. Eddy did not murder that specific person. And these stories were coming up in that third edition more and more. She even would name the people by the initials in that chapter. And everybody naturally would know those initials, whom she means, and that was a step that she had to take back. Because right afterwards, she brought out the fourth edition, the fourth main edition in 1883, and there she took out of the whole long text of, how much did we say, of 46 pages, took out everything that had to do with these criminal stories, with this criminal intent, all that excitement of a newspaper fashion that was in it, and reduced those 46 pages to 12 pages, taking out everything that had to do with people. In other terms, she began to see the impersonal nature of animal magnetism and therefore began not to pin down the malpractice to people, to certain people, but to see that the demonology is something that has nothing to do with people and that all those horror stories were actually only phenomena that can be discarded, because she could see that the only thing that is operating is a divine principle, and that principle operates impersonally, and therefore it cannot abuse people. So this fourth edition, which brought a terrific change into the textbook, Actually, it was the only big change that was made in the whole textbook, but that was very specific for that time, because at that time, then she began to teach in Boston. It was at that time when she opened up the Metaphysical College and where she began to teach over the next 7 years 4,000 students. And so in teaching those 4,000 students, she wanted to teach it on the basis of a principle and not on the basis of making good and evil personal. So this lasted for quite a while, namely until 1886, in the middle of her teaching activity, and then she revised the subject of animal magnetism again. So we come to the fifth main edition with the main tone of life. And fifth main edition, but it covered really the 16th to the 49th edition. Therefore, many, many reprints were coming out, always under the same title of the fifth main edition of life, namely on the title on animal magnetism. For the first time, she dropped now demonology also and de-demonologized really her subject and called it just animal magnetism. But those years from there to the next edition then were the years of great struggle in her life, where she had to deal with a lot of students that were turning against her, or that felt that they could teach much better than she could teach, that she was too difficult to understand, that her explanation were too scientific, that one should bring it down to the men in the street and into the language of the men in the street. So they put out new journals and new periodicals and things like that. It was really a great time of struggle. And therefore one can understand how she now completely changes the approach to the subject of animal magnetism. Suddenly she brings out here with the fifth main edition in 1886 a treatise on animal magnetism that introduces completely new aspect, a completely new approach. And that new approach can be seen at once. So that there was hardly any more any comparison between the fourth and the fifth main edition. But what was interesting, that at that point already one begins to see some similarity with the last edition. So it is as if that fifth edition would have just been on the watershed from one side to the next side, got rid, so to say, of all the way of all those ways and means that she was describing in the first four main edition, and bringing in something new that had already great similarity with the last edition. What were those new concepts that she introduced? One could see at once that something quite different is being shown. Namely, she introduced that chapter with three epigraphs. And all those three epigraphs had really the same tone, namely the tone that we have to take up the battle and the warfare with animal magnetism. It's in the time of struggle in her own life that reflected itself also as saying we have to take up the warfare with animal magnetism. And so those three epigraphs had that tonality. Namely, the warfare, and this is now interesting, that it has had anything anymore to do with a malpractitioner and with a patient that it has been malpracticed, because she has done away with that in the fourth edition, impersonalizing animal magnetism. So now it had to do with the dragon against the woman. That symbol that we have in Revelation in chapter 12, which she then incorporated also in the textbook in Apocalypse. He then gave an exegesis of the 12th chapter of the Revelation of St. John and put that into the textbook under the title of Apocalypse. That symbol is a symbol, as you know, of the woman that is bringing forth a man-child, and that the dragon was waiting to, for the child to be born in order to swallow it up, but that the dragon could not swallow it up, but that the child was lifted up to heaven. And so we have there those two angels at work, Michael and Gabriel. And this whole picture she took and translated it also into the chapter on animal magnetism and presented really that how the dragon wars against the woman. So it was no more a warfare between people, practitioner and patient, and how to protect the practitioner and the patient and so on. It is now depersonalized into that symbolism that the dragon, symbolizing really the maximum of evil, is warring against the woman as the maximum of good. So she speaks here about that warfare between the dragon and the woman as that divine warfare between animal magnetism and the spiritual idea. For the first time now, she introduces that actually animal magnetism is not aimed at the person, but that animal magnetism is aimed at the woman, is aimed at the spiritual idea to be born in that age or in any age. So that we begin to realize that when we talk about animal magnetism, that the intention and aim of animal magnetism is always not so much to harm a person, but to harm the progress of the spiritual idea. And therefore, we too, who are so much engaged in giving birth really to a new child, in giving birth to the idea of science in Christian Science, to give birth to the future, as we have seen, we must be aware that everything is being mustered in the symbol of a dragon to destroy this birth. So it is not people, it's not churches, it's not organizations that we have to deal with. It's always animal magnetism with which we have to deal with. And the aim is never person, never organization, never church or anything like that. It's always the spiritual idea. And there we have to be on our watch that we see that we do not mistake really the battle between the battle of animal magnetism and see that it is always directed towards the idea and that we are going to protect that idea with the best of our knowledge. In this chapter also she brings up another question, namely the knowledge of good and evil, and deals with it in a very different way as she would than in the last edition. Here she says that we have to have a knowledge of good and evil, that is necessary. We must know both what is good and what is evil, because she said that without such a knowledge, then error continues and increases. So evil let alone is not the way how to handle error, but really to see that there is something else at work, namely, as we have seen, the dragon against the woman. So the dragon must be exposed. We do not have to shut our eye on evil, but really to recognize it as what it is. So she says here in this chapter, to deny the existence of evil or to flee before it will involve you in hopeless error. Can you see what she says here? She doesn't say that anymore in the last edition. So we have to be very careful, see, to see and to quote Mrs. Eddy always in the context of her life history. When did she say something? Here she said at that age, 1886 is the edition, she says, to deny the existence of evil or to flee before it. If we say, well, there is no evil, I shut my eyes before it, will involve you in hopeless error. That was true at that time. And we have to find out why this is not repeated in the last edition. We have to find out that. Or else we mistake the textbook as we have it and are still at that stage in 1886. And that's 100 years ago. And we don't like to be in a consciousness that is 100 years old. That we don't like. So we must see how she evolved that subject. She would say, a denial of the existence of error prevents your victory over it. If you say there is no error, she says, then you can never be victorious over error. She wouldn't say that again in the last edition. So she says, which she is not going to say in the last edition, that she says, the maximum of good is today met by the maximum of evil. And I would like to make you a mental note on this rendering of maximum of good, maximum of evil, because in this line alone, we can see afterwards when we go to the next editions how she has evolved in consciousness. That at that time she said, well, the maximum of evil must be met by the maximum of good, and you can really see that there is a warfare. You have really two opposites. Two standing opposite to one another and say, okay, let's pull up our socks and fight that maximum of evil with the maximum of good, and let's have a good fight. That's the dragon really warring against the woman. For the first time, she introduces another subject, which she hasn't done. Namely, she introduces here the question that there is but one real attraction. It seems that only at this point she became aware, really, of mesmerism, of what mesmer was, what mesmerism was, what animal magnetism was. Up to this time, she didn't really refer to the theory of mesmer, because mesmer had said that there is a reciprocal action between the planets and animated bodies. But here now, for the first time, she said, no, there is only one real attraction. There is no attraction between animated things and celestial bodies. There is only one real attraction, that of mind, which is spirit. So for the first time, she takes up the question of attraction, which she introduces and says, that magnetism, that animal magnetism that Mesmer really thought he had found, what is actually now translated into the magnetism of mind with a capital M. So at that point she is talking about the magnetism of mind, capital M, which she is dropping afterwards. In our final edition we have no more a magnetism of mind, but we have the only attraction of mind. So that there is only one influence, she says, namely that of mind, capitalized, the only mind there is. So at that point now, she has made the turn right to the mind that is the only mind. You remember what we saw in the first edition, that she not even capitalized mind when she was speaking about the divine mind, that only in the second edition she began to capitalize divine, but not mind, once, in order to bring out the difference between the human mind and God's mind, and now only in the fifth edition she takes up and says there is only one mind. Up to this point, the reader could always think that there are two kinds of minds, a human mind and a divine mind. And we can ask ourselves, do we still are in that awareness that we feel from morning to night, there is a human mind and there is a divine mind. If we have that attitude, then we are not even at the fifth main edition, we are way back in the 80s. Here she said, no, there is only one mind, and that mind is spirit. And this is something that she has taken over to into the final edition. So you see that what she was presenting here in the fifth edition is something that only sporadically a sentence or a rendering is still left over in the last edition. She dropped all that again when she went on to the sixth and seventh edition. But the time of while she had that main edition in circulation, and it was, so to say, the textbook for her classes, and every student of hers had that kind of textbook, she felt very much that this warfare between the dragon and the woman must be really uncovered and unearthed, so to say, and brought to the surface and brought to the attention of the whole field. And therefore she opened at that time even a special compartment in the journal which was called Animal Magnetism, a special department where people could contribute their experience with animal magnetism, especially with malicious animal magnetism. And naturally, the most horrible stories and horror stories were then written in articles over a period of about 2 or 3 years. Even Mrs. Eddy was writing articles on animal magnetism, for instance, Ways That Are Vain, an article which really uncovers the workings of malicious animal magnetism and shows how animal magnetism can turn love into hate, can turn friends into enemies, etc., that you never know who is sitting by the fireside with you, if not hidden, is a totally demonic character, though that friend seems to be a friend, but he isn't, and so on, until finally every Christian Scientist felt, I'm no more sure of my own life, I'm no more sure where I go. They went out on the street and first looked around the corner if nobody was watching them and hitting at them, etc., to bring it out a bit drastically. But it was an atmosphere that created more fear than command over the subject. Ways That Are Vain are today in prose work in Miscellany, but Mrs. Eddy did not want to have it in Miscellany. It was after her death that the directors put that into Miscellany. And why? Because Mrs. Eddy, when she compiled miscellaneous writings and afterwards Miscellany, could see that that article is not good for the general reader. Why? And I tell you afterwards why. Also, she wrote at that time in that department on animal magnetism another article which many of us have copied from the old journals, namely that article on malicious animal magnetism, which afterwards did neither appear in miscellaneous writings nor in Miscellany. Again, an article that Mrs. Eddy must have felt when she compiled those two books, that it is not adapted really for the student, that it does more harm than good. She began to realize now at that period that talking too much about malicious animal magnetism, bringing out too much to the attention of the students the workings of animal magnetism and the way it was dealt with at that time, that created much more fear than it would create a sense of dominion over animal magnetism. So that at the end of that period in 1890, I give the dates because it's interesting to see the periods of changes that went on in Mrs. Eddy's consciousness. She put out a short notice ending really that department on animal magnetism and said in a card that we should drop the discussion on animal magnetism until when? She said, until scientists understand clearly how to handle this error. So you can see she began to feel that the way that she presented animal magnetism was dangerous, and that she hadn't yet given really the answer how to handle animal magnetism. And so she said, drop all that, and in place of it, she said, only patient, unceasing love to all mankind, love that cannot mistake, love's aid can determine this question on the principle of Christian Science. Can you hear a completely turnaround? That suddenly she began to feel that it is not a question of the warfare between the dragon and the woman, that actually we should rise higher, to a higher state of consciousness, to that unceasing love for all mankind. That was something else than animal magnetism and demonology, the love for mankind, the love that cannot mistake, love's aid. You can have a very positive standpoint of love here, that with which she ended that whole question. Yes, so we can see that at this point, really, animal magnetism was considered as a dragon that would persecute. Now, this is really a question that is still in the minds of Christian Scientists. I remember when I was still in the church, and even when I went through class, we were told how we have to be careful and protect ourselves against animal magnetism, because any pioneer of truth will be persecuted. Anyone who would not be in agreement with the Mother Church and the manual would be persecuted and will really end very soon in pushing daisies. And that whole fear was, at my time, at that time, you know, in the 20s and 30s, was really right in the church. And so I can see that at that time, even when one had for already 20 and 30 years the newest edition of Science and Health, that the Christian Scientists were still thinking in terms and on the level of that fifth main edition, still on that level of ways that are vain. That's why Mrs. Eddy didn't want that article to be published, that she didn't want the article on malicious animal magnetism to be published, but only that note that we should go out from love and that, not mistake, love's aid.